Chapter 79. Burned or pulled down, neither. Apostrophe apostrophe, you'll be glad to go through the old rooms, won't you, Susan? Apostrophe apostrophe, said Florence, smiling. Well, miss, apostrophe returned the nipper, softening more and more towards the house, as they approached it nearer, I won't deny, but what I shall, though I shall hate them again, tomorrow, very likely. Apostrophe, Florence felt that, for her, there was greater peace within it than elsewhere. It was better and easier to keep her secret shut up there, among the tall dark walls, than to carry it abroad into the light, and try to hide it from a crowd of happy eyes. It was better to pursue the study of her loving heart, alone, and find no new discouragements in loving hearts about her. It was easier to hope, and pray, and love on, all uncared for, yet with constancy and patience, in the tranquil sanctuary of such remembrances, although it moldered, rusted, and decayed about her, than in a new scene, let its gaiety be what it would. She welcomed back her old enchanted dream of life, and longed for the old dark door to close upon her, once again. Full of such thoughts, they turned into the long and somber street. Florence was not on that side of the carriage which was nearest to her home, and as the distance lessened between them and it, she looked out of her window for the children over the way. She was thus engaged, when an exclamation from Susan caused her to turn quickly round. Why, gracious me! Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Susan, breathless, where's our house? Apostrophe, our house. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Florence. Susan, drawing in her head from the window, thrust it out again, drew it in again as the carriage stopped, and stared at her mistress in amazement. There was a labyrinth of scaffolding raised all round the house, from the basement to the roof. Loads of bricks and stones, and heaps of mortar, and piles of wood, blocked up half the width and length of the broad street at the side. Ladders were raised against the walls, laborers were climbing up and down, men were at work upon the steps of the scaffolding, painters and decorators were busy inside. Great rolls of ornamental paper were being delivered from a cart at the door, an upholsterer's wagon also stopped the way. No furniture was to be seen through the gaping and broken windows in any of the rooms. Nothing but workmen, and the implements of their several trades, swarming from the kitchens to the garrets, inside and outside alike. Bricklayers, painters, carpenters, masons, hammer, hod, brush, pickaxe, saw, and trowel, all at work together, in full chorus. Florence descended from the coach, half doubting if it were, or could be the right house, until she recognized Towlinson, with a sunburnt face, standing at the door to receive her. There is nothing the matter? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Florence. Oh no, miss. Apostrophe, there are great alterations going on. Apostrophe, yes, miss, great alterations, apostrophe, said Towlinson. Florence passed him, as if she were in a dream, and hurried upstairs. The garish light was in the long darkened drawing room, and there were steps and platforms, and men in paper caps, in the high places. Her mother's picture was gone with the rest of the movables, and on the mark where it had been, was scrawled in chalk, this room and panel, green and gold. Apostrophe, the staircase was a labyrinth of posts, and planks like the outside of the house, and a whole Olympus of plumbers and glaziers was reclining in various attitudes, on the skylight. Her own room was not yet touched within, but there were beams and boards raised against it without, bulking the daylight. She went up swiftly to that other bedroom, where the little bed was, and a dark giant of a man with a pipe in his mouth, and his head tied up in a pocket handkerchief, was staring in at the window. It was here that Susan Nipper, who had been in quest of Florence, found her, and said, would she go downstairs to her papa, who wished to speak to her? At home. And wishing to speak to me. Apostrophe, cried Florence, trembling. Susan, who was infinitely more distraught than Florence herself, repeated her errand, and Florence, pale and agitated, her hurried down again, without a moment's hesitation. She thought upon the way down, would she dare to kiss him? The longing of her heart resolved her, and she thought she would. Her father might have heard that heartbeat, when it came into his presence. One instant, and it would have beat against his breast. But he was not alone. There were two ladies there, and Florence stopped, striving so hard with her emotion, that if her brute friend I had not burst in, and overwhelmed her with his caresses as a welcome home at which one of the ladies gave a little scream, and that diverted her attention from herself, she would have swooned upon the floor. Florence, apostrophe, said her father, putting out his hand, so stiffly that it held her off. How do you do? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Florence took the hand between her own, and putting it timidly to her lips, yielded to its withdrawal. It touched the door in shutting it, with quite as much endearment as it had touched her. What dog is that? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Dombey, displeased. It is a dog, Papa from Brighton. Apostrophe, well. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Dombey. And a cloud passed over his face, for he understood her. He is very good-tempered, apostrophe, said Florence, addressing herself with her natural grace and sweetness to the two lady strangers. He is only glad to see me. Pray forgive him. Apostrophe, she saw in the glance they interchanged, that the lady who had screamed, and who was seated, was old, and that the other lady, who stood near her papa, was very beautiful, and of an elegant figure. Mrs. Skewton, apostrophe, said her father, turning to the first, and holding out his hand, this is my daughter Florence. Apostrophe, charming, I am sure, apostrophe, observed the lady, putting up her glass. So natural. My darling Florence, you must kiss me, if you please. Apostrophe, Florence having done so, turned towards the other lady, by whom her father stood waiting. Edith, apostrophe, said Mr. Dombey, this is my daughter Florence. Florence, this lady will soon be your mama. Apostrophe, Florence started, and looked up at the beautiful face in a conflict of emotions, among which the tears that name awakened, struggled for a moment with surprise, interest, admiration, and an indefinable sort of fear. Then she cried out, oh, Papa, may you be happy. May you be very, very happy all your life. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and then fell weeping on the lady's bosom. There was a short silence. The beautiful lady, who at first had seemed to hesitate whether or no she should advance to Florence, held her to her breast, and pressed the hand with which she clasped her close about her waist, as if to reassure her and comfort her. Not one word passed the lady's lips. She bent her head down over Florence, and she kissed her on the cheek, but she said no word. Shall we go on through the rooms, apostrophe, said Mr. Dombey, and see how our workmen are doing? Pray allow me, my dear madam. Apostrophe, he said this in offering his arm to Mrs. Skewton, who had been looking at Florence through her glass, as though picturing to herself what she might be made by the infusion from her own copious storehouse, no doubt of a little more art and nature. Florence was still sobbing on the lady's breast, and holding to her, when Mr. Dombey was heard to say from the conservatory, let us ask Edith. Dear me, where is she? Apostrophe, Edith, my dear. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mrs. Skewton, where are you? Looking for Mr. Dombey somewhere, I know. We are here, my love. Apostrophe, the beautiful lady released her hold of Florence, and pressing her lips once more upon her face, withdrew hurriedly, and joined them. Florence remained standing in the same place. Happy, sorry, joyful, and in tears, she knew not how, or how long, but all at once, when her new mama came back, and took her in her arms again. Florence, apostrophe, said the lady, hurriedly, and looking into her face with great earnestness. You will not begin by hating me? Apostrophe, by hating you, mama? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Florence, winding her arm round her neck, and returning the look. Hush! Begin by thinking well of me, apostrophe, said the beautiful lady. Begin by believing that I will try to make you happy and that I am prepared to love you, Florence. Goodbye. We shall meet again soon. Goodbye. Don't stay here now. Apostrophe, again she pressed her to her breast. She had spoken in a rapid manner, but firmly, and Florence saw her rejoin them in the other room. And now Florence began to hope that she would learn from her new and beautiful mama how to gain her father's love. And in her sleep that night, in her lost old home, her own mama smiled radiantly upon the hope and blessed it. Dreaming Florence. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.